In this present series, we're looking at the Lord's Prayer. And I think during this whole series, what I would like to encourage you to do is to look for practical ways in which this series can help us pray better. I hope you can go away saying things like, I can do that. I could try that. And this is what I'm trying to do through this whole series. Because remember the setting for the Lord's Prayer as we have it in Luke's Gospel. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Just as John taught his disciples. And I'm hoping that's our prayer through this whole series. Lord, teach us to pray. For those of us who find prayer a struggle, Lord, help us a bit better. For those of us who pray fairly regularly, Lord, help us to pray better. Help us pray your will. Now, I don't know about you, but in prayer, I want to get to the needs bit. That's the first bit I want to get to the prayer. I want to get where I pray for people, and I pray for situations, and I pray for my family, and pray for friends, and I want to get there quickly. And I've always got a list of things and people to pray for. But right at the start of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus highlights that before we get to our agenda, we've got to get to God's. Now, it might surprise you that God's got an agenda for our prayers. And he does. And want to know what's on God's agenda? Yeah? No? Maybe? Good? Yeah? Okay. Three things. And these things are on God's prayer agenda for us. And they're in the Lord's Prayer. First one is that we pray his name be hallowed. Second one, that we pray that his kingdom will come. Thirdly, that we pray for his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And these are all what God is looking for us to do before I get to my list. And that's what I've learned so far in the Lord's Prayer. That's what God's saying to me. John, before you get to your list, acknowledge who you are praying to. And if you're filling in the fill-ins this morning, number one says we shouldn't rush into our needs until we have reminded ourselves who God is. And we'll get this for 2 or 3 weeks. God's agenda. So this morning, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. What's in a name? We started looking at names. We looked at middle names. Anyone got any idea? I'm looking for guesses. The top three boys' names and girls' names last year. Jack? Nope. George? Who said George? Nope. We'll stay on the boys first. Jake? No. Jack's very close. I might give you Jack. It's Jackson. Number one, Jackson. We'll get that in a minute. Any other guys' names? Mohammed? No. This is in the UK. Come on. Yeah. Because they'll all be Mohammed. Yeah. Yeah. They're all sitting there. Oh, yeah. Mohammed. I thought of that. I didn't. Okay. Sorry. John. John's nowhere now. John used to be right at the top. I mean, really. Since I've slidden. Oliver. No. Well, sorry? No, there's one from the Bible. I don't think you'll get it. Noah. Number three. Noah, number three. We'll come back to number two in a minute. What about girls' names? Olivia. Who said Olivia? Number two. Ah, you're better with these. Sophia or Sophie. Number one. No? Yeah? Yeah? Emma. There's no put out there. No, that's the three. Oh, he's online. He's cheating. He's online. Come on. I mean, it wouldn't be so bad. It's my brother. You know. Oh. Lord forgive him, he know not what he does. Okay, we're not having any quizzes or anything in this church now. That's how we do it. Let's see the three of them. Sophie, Olivia, and Emma. Jackson, Liam was number two for the boys. And Noah. You can now get baby books with all the names you can think of. And we've seen already we we use quite a lot of family names when it comes to naming children. The problem is, in the Bible, names had a lot more significance. Many of them stand for the character of the person as they were, or the character they were going to be. And you'll find it, especially in the Old Testament, when you find significant things happen, names are changed. Folks' names are changed because of incidents. Fill-in number two says, God's name, because this is what we're getting to, is all that he has revealed about himself. This is why it's so important to know God's name. It's not so we can call him and be polite, because in the Bible, God's name is all that he has revealed about himself. What's in a name? For centuries, God didn't reveal his name to the patriarchs. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. We've recently looked at the life of Abraham, and God was revealing more and more of his character to Abraham, and Abraham was learning by faith, and God was telling him who he was. But he didn't reveal the big name until we get to Moses. God said to Moses, I am the Lord, I appeared to you. I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. This is the name that God reveals to Moses. And he does it in a funny way. God sends him to the Israelites, and he's going to say to the Israelites, you're going to be free. It's okay. God has told me to set you free. Now, Moses is not daft. Moses knows he's going to go to his people, and he's going to say, it's okay. We're no longer going to be slaves because God has appeared to me. And this is what he says to God. He says, Moses says to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what's his name? What am I to tell them? And God says to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you have to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. And this seems to be the main revelation that God has given about himself. Now, I said it earlier, I don't think it would have convinced me. You know, I don't know anyone who's called somebody, I am who I am. You will be who you will be. But God says, this is the central aspect of my being. I am God. I'm the God who's no beginning. I'm the God who has no end. And that's who I am. And I recently had this discussion with somebody, and you'll never believe it, this is true. We were talking about the creation of the world, and I kid you not, we were in a hearse. We were on our way from this church to the cemetery, so I didn't have long. And one of the guys was talking about the creation of the world and God and everything. And I was trying to get him to this, you know, before we got to the grave. And I was trying to say to him that God is the God who has always been. You know, because he was going to give me a sort of creationist idea, and I was going to take him all back to, well, you know, the Big Bang. Well, what banged? The gases or whatever. I says, we're going to go back to the same faith statement somewhere along the line. And my faith statement has got to start with, in the beginning, God. God has always been. And this is what God is trying to say through this name. I am who I am. I've always been, and I always will be. And we've got to remember, that's who we are praying to this morning. Great I am, the God who has always been. And the God who is always revealing himself in different ways to different people and in different situations. Fill-in number three says, God has revealed his name in creation. You know, many folk are brought to faith because they cannot doubt that the created order is just so magnificent. It says in Romans 1, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. Paul in Romans is saying, folk who do not know God yet, their excuse is they haven't seen creation yet. Because they've got to look at creation and see the order and see the complexity of it. And that at least points to a maker God. You know, we sing that. You know, one of my favorite hymns. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the things thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder, your power throughout the universe displayed. And we go through all those verses. And the chorus is how great thou art. The creation points to a great creator God. God has revealed himself in creation. God has revealed himself, this is number four, to his people. not content doing it in a general way in creation. He sort of picked individuals and he's revealed certain aspects of who he is. To Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, he revealed himself as Elohim, the creator, the universal ruler. To Moses, we've seen that, Yahweh, I am who I am. And throughout the Old Testament, God meets with different people all the time, revealing more and more of his character. I've just written some of them here. You know, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is my peace. Jehovah Zekenu, the Lord of righteousness. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. All these things are being revealed to people, not just to give them a title, but to say, that's my character. That's who I am. So you get it in creation. You get it to people. And we've got to remember, this is the God we're praying to. But number five says, God has revealed his name primarily in Jesus. And that's where the great revelation of God the Father comes from. What he has said, what he has done, Jesus reveals the character of God the Father. John 17, Jesus says this. This is him getting near the end of his life, and he's praying for the disciples, and he's praying for the world. And he says, Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them. Now this verse, I didn't know this, but the literal translation of the I have made you known to them is, I have made known your name to them. And he said, the name that we're talking about is to get to know God. And I remember poor Philip, when he was getting all excited in John 14, and Jesus was saying, he's going to leave and everything like that. And he wants to see the Father. And I think all the disciples must have been like that. You know, you've talked about the Father, you've prayed to the Father, you've got a special relationship with the Father. What does poor Philip say? He says, show us the Father. And he's expecting some kind of great thing coming back from Jesus. Says, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. That's of course he says. If you want to see God the Father, you see it in me. And that's why we've got to know who Jesus is. That's why we've got to get the stories of Jesus. That's why we've got to get the character of Jesus, because it points to God the Father. Okay, we see that the name of God is his character, who he is, what he does. But we're looking at hallowed be your name. Now, when I was looking at this verse, I bet some of you are surprised I didn't put holy. Holy is your name. Some of the translations put holy. Sarah, you've maybe had a good week this week. I have agonized over hallowed. Anyone else agonized this week over hallowed? No, good. Too much tennis, football, everything. Because what does it mean to hallow something? Now, I was racking my brains trying to find anyone who has used the word hallow. And the only one I can remember is someone talking, and I think it was about Lord's cricket ground, and they were talking about that hallowed turf. And that's about the only one I can think of. I mean, I can't think of another. Anyone got any help for me here? If you had, you should have given me it yesterday. Anyone thought of any senses with hallowed? I don't think I have. I don't think I've had one. No. Sort of? Harry Potter. That's my sister-in-law now. Hi, Harry Potter. Yeah. The problem with hallowed was, because some translations just put holy, and I'm not quite satisfied with holy, and that's why. Because I think to hallow means then just to recognize holiness. I think you can recognize the holiness of God and not do anything about it. You know, holy is your name, so what? I think there's more in the word hallowed. And what it means is, we don't just recognize that God is holy, but we're prepared to do something in reverence towards this name. We're prepared to act. So when we say, hallowed be your name, we're saying, yes, your name is holy, but I'm prepared to do something because of that. Now, I think that's right. And that's why I left hallowed in. To use hallowed be your name sets God apart. And we must act in a special way to hallow God's name. How do we do that? I think number six is to hallow God's name primarily is to honor him in worship. I think that's what we've got to do. Hallowed be your name. And the question I've got for all of us this morning is, will what we do in this hour and a bit bring honor to God's name? Did I give you number six there? Yeah, to hallow God's name is to honor him in worship. What will you do this morning that will glorify or hallow or set apart God's name? Because we respond in worship to what God reveals about himself. And the test of whether our worship is true worship or not is whether it honors God or not. And that's what we should be asking ourselves. Because, be honest, when was the last time that you sort of went home after a service, I didn't even get home, you sort of got down the path and said, I think that service today hallowed God. And I never said that. I don't think I have. Because most of the time, we judge a service on the same way. And I think we all do this. And this is where you'll sort of lose eye contact with me. Because we do it on the basis of what we like or not. I think that's what we do, you know. And I know that some folk, before they're at the gate, oh, I didn't like that because, whatever the because is, you know, I must prefer that or this, you know. Why is he mucking around with the Lord's Prayer? And that's what we do. That's our human nature. We respond to sort of what we like. And really what we're saying is, hallowed be your name. It's what God requires. And what we've got to say in our worship, did it honor God? Did what we do when we pray together? Did what we do when we sing together? Do what we do when the word is preached? Does it honor God? And if it does, then that's why we're here. You know. Because the hard thing to accept during worship is it's not about us. And I think we all do it. I do it. And God reminds us this morning, it's really not about us. It's about hallowing God's name. It's about setting him apart. It's about praising the God for who he is. We've got to leave the church knowing again how wonderful God is. That's what we need to do. We need to get some aspect during the service to say, wow, isn't it great to be a Christian? I mean, our heart's lifted when you've reaffirmed what you really believe. That's what we need. You hear them say, yes, God is good. And if we have, then that's a worship that pleases God. Psalm 115 says, not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be glory because of your love and faithfulness. You should maybe put that up on the screen all the time. Not to us. Not about us. It's to your name. To your character, to who you are. We're trying to bring glory to that. And hallowing God's name also involves praising him for what he's done for us in Jesus. That's what we've got to do. Do you ever think it's amazing that God has called you? You ever do that? I mean, I think it's amazing that God has called some of you. I really do. You know, you think just as much as called me. You know, really. Yeah, God's mercy is wide. But I mean, I think we can never lose that awe that says, God has called me. Not only called me, he sent me into his family. I'm a child of God. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? I am a child of God. God is my father. And God will look after me. And God's got his hand upon me. And hallowing God's name is when we're filled with gratitude because of that. For the way God stands by us, for the way God loves us, for the way God is even going to take horrific things and hard though we have in believing it, he's going to bring good. And sometimes we've just got to hang on to that. God is good and he's going to bring good into my life. Fill in number seven says, God's name is hallowed when we honor him by the way we live our lives. Can't just be about worship. Can't just be about worship. Sermon on the Mount, let your light shine before others. that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Can that happen? You know, some of these sort of religious things. Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Most of the time, not. You know, they can see your good deeds and say you're a busybody. See your good deeds and say you're interfering. God wants to go further. God's want to say, people will begin to see your good deeds. And I think the way they've got to do it today is, what are you on? Why are you doing that? Why have you done that for me? And I think that's our opening to share who the God is that we are worshiping. Yeah. I've never seen that in reality, but I've seen it in transition. I've seen it happen when people are talking, you know, they befriend their neighbor and they get on the neighbor and they good for the neighbor, and eventually they say, why are you like this? I'm like this because, and that door has opened to tell them about Jesus. Because the question is, how do your neighbors see you? Do they know you're a Christian? Not a funny one. Do the folk next door know you're a Christian? Should. Do they see any difference in the way you live your life? The way you speak to one another? The way you respond to your children? The way you're nice to your husband if you've got one? Francis in the Sunday school. Somebody go and get Francis. We hallow God's name when we refuse to be involved in immoral practices, when we refuse to gossip, when we refuse to speak ill of others. If we did that, folk would notice. You know, at work, you know, folk gather, talk about someone, we've got to say, that's not my bag. You know, we've got to learn to start saying good about folk, you know. And for some folk, that's hard. But I mean, we've got to get to a position saying, you know, even if it's someone like, you know, they're good to their cat. You know, say something like that rather than the rest of them slagging folk off. We hallow God's name when those who we come in contact know that we can be trusted, know that we can be relied upon, know that we will be honest. And once folk know that, God's name can be hallowed. And then we've got to see, because of this, that hallowing God's name goes beyond a Sunday. It's not just what we're doing here, it's how we're living our life. And every day, if we look at it that way, gives us an opportunity to hallow God's name by how we're behaving outside in the real world. At work, how do your workmates see you? Are you reliable? Are you hardworking? Are you good to be around? Or are you just a religious pain? And folk will judge Jesus accordingly. But what we're hearing this morning is, if we want to hallow God's name, then at work, at play, all these things, it makes a difference. Came across an amazing thing last week. This was first century. In first century, slave owners deliberately bought Christians. That's what the history books say. They say they went for Christians. Why? Because they're good workers. They'll be honest. They'll be reliable. They're still slaves. But if you're going to get a slave, get a Christian slave. That's what they did. Because even the slaves had the Christian integrity that was hallowing God's name. Now, we cannot be perfect. God is not asking us to be perfect. But I think we can all echo the prayer of a Dundee preacher, Murray McShane, who says, make me as holy as a saved sinner can be. And I love that. That's got to be our prayer to God. Make me as holy as you possibly can. I know I'm never going to be perfect, but make me holy. So folk are going to see it. And fill in number 8 says, God's name is hallowed when we honour him in the way we live together. And this is church. This is church. God's name is hallowed in the way we interact with one another. One of the last things Jesus said to his disciples was to leave them with a command. A new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Why? Now, if we stopped it there and you never knew the rest of that verse, it would be so that we all get along so that things may be good, so that we're going to have no strife, no arguments, no backbiting, no anything that happens in some churches, I hear. Jesus continues and says, by this everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. He's saying that's going to be the test for the folk outside. It's not going to be your theology. It's not going to be the songs we sing. It's not even going to be the way we pray. He says the folk outside are going to know how you love one another is going to be the test of whether your Christianity was authentic or not. And that's why we've got to continually work at being together as a church. Because that will be our biggest witness to the outside. We glorify God when we love one another. We're a great witness to those who don't know God when we love one another. And that's why it's such a shame when Christians fall out, when churches split, when denominations argue over secondary matters, when we want to go our own way rather than God's will be done, and we'll be coming to that. When all that happens, we bring shame on God's name. I love this verse from Romans 15. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to praise God. And we just need to spend a wee bit of time and we think back that God has accepted us. Really? Yeah. And that's how wide his mercy is, and he's really saying, your mercy's got to be as wide as that. You know? Because we're all different. You know, that's what's wrong with a church. Sometimes everyone's different. You know, if they're all the same, and we mean the same as, like me, then it would be fine. I think that's what we all think. You know, why are they into that kind of stuff? You know, why don't they like what I like? Why don't they do what I do? And God says, that's the body of Christ. And he says, what you've got to do is you've got to love one another in that body. And you've got to remember when we go to fall out with somebody, when we go to get antagonistic about somebody, when we say something we shouldn't about somebody in the church, we've got to get back to that verse. Accept one another just as Christ has accepted you. And if we can ponder on that, we can say, yeah. So hallowing God's name is a way of living. It's not just a Sunday thing. And I think that's why Jesus put it into his model prayer. When we get our relationship right with God, when we affirm who he is, and next week when we see it's about his kingdom and not ours, then the rest of our prayer, the bit that I want to get to, the needs bit, will also glorify God. But he's saying, get the God bit right, and that will put you right for the rest of your prayer. Amen. Now, I said last week that we were going to do a wee bit